Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's dive in. Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 31. As always, I am your host, Mike Martin, joined by the esteemed, the wonderful, the beautiful, Jesse Cox. How's it going, brother?
Well, I didn't think that. I thought you were going to say Alex, not me.
That's what you said last time I called you wonderful and beautiful.
Once he said beautiful, I knew it couldn't possibly be me.
I'm not ready for it. But when it happens, I know it's true. I just am not ready for it.
Wow. Maybe I hope you know you're surprised every time. So you're always got that surprise. But we're also joined by the man you'll find at every LA street corner, at least somebody
that's
that looks
me.
Like him.
I'm Alex like Jesus Bastiani. In that I'm everywhere, but I'm everywhere only in LA.
Simply LA alone.
Every palm tree in Los Angeles is a horcrux for my soul.
And as always,
a little piece.
When it's an Alex driven episode, I've got I've got my conspiracy underwear on.
Yeah, you better have it on. This is you have to have some really, really special underwear for today's episode, because we're going in a direction today, guys. We're going in a bold direction today, because my dad gave me this story. I went and had food with my dad because he was helping me move some shelves around with his truck, and he was like, "What is your podcast about?" And I like explained it to him, and he was like, "You should do this." And I was like, "This is so not what we normally do, but I'm gonna do it." And so I'm gonna just like go through it. I'm not gonna like tell you what it is before. We're just gonna get into it. But before we do that, speaking of surprises, do you guys have something you wanna say to the people?
You gotta give them that tense silence. It's like podcast edging, right? You gotta just kinda bring them
up. It's the Mothman, but like super far away.
Hey,
I'm like, is that outside?
Are you in the Boston area October 30th?
I won't be. Is something going on?
Yes, something's going on, and you damn well better be there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chilluminati Live!
Yes!
We are actually doing a live show.
This show is such a smash hit that we've been forced by fan demand to take it to the streets of Boston.
And charge you money.
To come watch us. For the privilege of watching us make magic live in front of you on stage.
It's an all-ages show. Bring the kids. Bring your grandparents. Or don't. I mean, you don't know. They could be like, I saw a ghost. And then you'll be weirded out because your grandparents are ghost people.
And yeah. I mean, I was to say, and if she hasn't, they're grandparents, so they will be soon.
Yeah, maybe you'll see a ghost soon. That's terrible. You're a bad person.
Just sometimes reality hurts, dude.
You're a bad person. You're a bad person.
Grandma will always be there, hanging out in the corner.
Anyway,
what if I want to find? What if I want to find out more information, like tickets and
weird
such?
Weird that you bring that up, because you could go to ChilluminatiPod.com right now and head over, and we got a little poster there that tells you what's going on October 30th. Starts at 7 p.m. over
spooky, spooky date.
Spooky date. One day before Halloween, baby. Gotta love it. It's going to be in Somerville, Massachusetts on the Once Ballroom. Tickets right now are for sale. The link is live. And they are currently $27 a pop. Limited seats. Grab them while you can. And I promise not only is it going to be an awesome Halloween episode, but it's going to be an awesome Northeast-focused topic. All told.
That's kind of been our little Chilluminati tradition, is whenever we do a road show, we kind of like tie it to the locale.
Yeah.
So that we're going to continue that.
And being Massachusetts, we have a bloody history in general, and weird things happen out here constantly. Whether it's paranormal or just illegal, I don't know, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. Show I'm so excited.
Show is from 7 to 10. It is going to be us talking to you, having a good time, getting real weird with it. Hopefully you'll enjoy, and hopefully you'll stick around for whatever antics we get into. I'm excited.
I am too. It's going to be a great time. So make
Can
sure you
I
go
tell
check
you
it
guys,
out.
I'm a little bit distracted right now because of another paranormal event that's happening right around me right now.
What?
There
Wallace?
Is a
is Wallace there?
So, yeah. Well, he's here, but okay. So I have like a I have like a clock in my apartment that's like very old, belonged to my grandmother. And it's like a wall clock, and I had to move a bunch of shelves around, so I took it down, and I'm going to, like, put it into storage. And it has not been wound for years and years and years, and now that it's down off the wall, it goes off. It chimes every once in a while, like, way too much, and it just has been chiming for days and days and days. And I try and, like, go to it and listen to it, and there's nothing moving inside it or anything like that, but it just bongs and bongs and bongs.
I just imagine you have this thing on the table. You've got, like, a Lazy Boy right next to it, well-worn, you know, really perfected to the grooves of your ass cheeks. You got
oh, yeah.
Big-ass bong, and you're like, all right, talk to me. And it's just chiming at you because it's broken, but you don't realize
I'm telling you, it's really, it's like, I'm like, should I put this back on the wall? Like, is it, like, threatening me?
Is it doing like it? I don't know, what is it doing, like Morse code? How many bongs is it giving you? How many in a row? Any pauses? Come on, man. You got to start decoding this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. Maybe I should list it on eBay and sell it with a long-winded ghost story.
Or maybe it's just Wallace psychically connected to your clock and that's the only way he knows how to talk to you.
Because that's the most reasonable. That's the most reasonable explanation. And that's what we say here on Chilluminati is the answer is always the most reasonable one, and don't you forget it. And speaking of which, are you guys ready to come on a little journey? You guys ready to ascend with me today?
Take me
Sorry,
away.
I was Literally? Completely and totally distracted by the I was looking up just again so I could describe it to everyone.
Yeah.
The location where we're having our live podcast.
Okay.
The ballroom and lounge, the once ballroom and lounge, is perfect for us. It is, the lounge area is so crazy and weird. Y'all are about to get just insanified. I can't wait. Come hang out. It's going to be a blast.
You all leave with your third eye open and your chakras clear.
I'm going to make sure that
guaranteed.
No, I'm gonna put a stop to that. Come on out. I'll close up all your orifices.
No guarantees.
Spiritual and otherwise,
safety not guaranteed.
I will shut it down.
Come at your own risk.
I will shut it down.
Come prepared to fight for your life.
What? We're gonna keep your holes closed. Alex,
what?
Open my hole.
I'll open your hole. Come back with me, boys. Come back with me all the way back. We're going back through time. To the beginning of the old Santa Fe Trail in New Mexico, where in 1852, a girls' school called Loreto Academy was founded by Bishop Jean B. Lemay, don't know the answer to that one, who really thought it would be a good idea for the town, and for all intents and purposes, it was. He founded this thing, everybody loved it, it was great for the town, it was there for like 100 years. And according to the old-ass pamphlet I got this story off of, which was printed, I believe, in 1978, there is still plenty of people in town who are proud to have attended this very old school. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm a Loreto girl. That's what it said.
Okay.
And by the way, let me just shout out before we get any deeper into this. Loreto and the Miraculous Staircase by Alice Bullock is going to be something that you need to read for this. That's what I sort of like did. It's actually worthless now that if you listen to this episode because there's not much more to the story than this. But
that's the source. That's where the source.
That's
is
the source. So shout outs to Alice Bullock in 1978 who got this one together for us. Basically, people would bring their daughters here for a complete education. It was a boarding school and a day school, and since it was partially a religious institution completely staffed by nuns, a young girl would walk out of there not only book smart, but also pretty healthy, and also pretty God smart.
Book smart, God smart.
Body smart.
Body smart. For what? When again? 60s? 40s?
This right now?
When did the school get established? I'm sorry.
1852.
1852. Good God. So we're still in an America where people are dying trying to get to California.
This is like the old Santa Fe Trail. I think like old timey like Christianity is coming in this wave to America in this way, like in the West.
Okay.
West Coast stuff.
Tumultuous times.
So this was a great successful school, but there was one thing that was still missing, and Bishop LeMay still felt that Loretto could use its very own chapel, because the boys' school St. Michael's up the street had a chapel. You know, it seemed kind of weird that this like religious school for girls didn't have like a girls' chapel where they could like pray as well. Almost like it was an injustice that they didn't have one. So he's a go-getter. He's a maker-happener. He decides to go do something about it. So for as long as he can remember, he's always been enchanted by the Sainte-Chapelle in Paris. It's a really small, beautiful chapel. It's modestly small, but also extravagantly beautiful. It's got all this stained glass and all these like beautiful Gothic archways and stuff. And that's kind of like the vibe that he wanted to create with this chapel. So he hired straight up a French architect from France to come to New Mexico to create something similar to this. And sure enough, on July 25th, 1873, ground was broken on the new addition to the school, and every day the sisters watched eagerly as it progressed, okay?
So they're tracking the progress. Not a whole lot to do in the 1850s. Watching dudes build a chapel is peak entertainment, when the best thing you can do is maybe piss on some dirt and throw mud balls around.
And like, teach girls math, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, that's all that's happening at this school at this point. They even installed, like, a rose window in the church. Like, wow. I don't know if you've never seen one, just Google it and then realize that you've definitely seen one. Like, it's like, you know, it's that big round window that's like, imagine a church from Assassin's Creed, gamers. You know, go there and find your rose window. But there's one in this church. It's really cool.
Rise up, gamers, and educate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a healthy, positive gamers rise up.
Exactly.
The bishop was super excited. He was so impressed with the look of it. He even brought along his nephew and his nephew's beautiful new wife to come and see how the church was coming along. Okay.
Okay.
And weirdly enough, however, the nephew's wife and the French architect were getting uncomfortably friendly with each other. And after he had to literally put his foot down and forbid the dude from coming around his house to call on his wife all the time,
yikes,
his wife got so pissed off at him that she just like grabbed all her shit, moved out to a hotel up the way called the Exchange Hotel.
That's a woman who was waiting for an excuse to leave her husband.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, well, I mean, I think in the situation that this is like, I think this guy, Lamy, the guy from the bishop, I think he's, that family is also from France. And so they're here in like New Mexico, which is still very like
old Westy. And I imagine where they're at, there's just not a lot of people.
It's pretty like old Westy still down in this area. And the wife is named Mercedes Chavez. And I believe that she's from like from Mexico, and that she's like kind of like a political wife that he's kind of like kind of build his empire with, because I think she was like the governor's daughter or something. So it wasn't like a like whirlwind loving marriage in the first place. It was more like, you know, it was more like actually just like two
practical
people who were like, yeah, exactly. So of course she's like boning down with this dude in his hotel room all the time, in her hotel room all the time, and the husband doesn't like it. Obviously, this rustles some feathers around the town, because this type of wild shit like doesn't happen in like religious ass like Santa Fe, New Mexico at this time. But after being like completely cucked in public, like fully, the nephew goes back to the French architect again, but this time he has a different warning, and he says, "Stay away from my wife, or I'm gonna fucking kill you. That's it. I'm just going to kill you. Don't do this." And sure enough, a few days later, when Bishop LeMay's nephew happened to spy the architect slinking like the Pink Panther out of his wife's hotel room one fateful evening, he drew a pistol, walked up to him from behind, and shot him right in the back of the head, killing him instantly. Yeah.
Just, he's got his like penny loafers over his shoulder. He's got it. He's like in his tidy whities and clothes bundle. He's like, "Nobody will see me skinking away." Meanwhile, he's been fucking camping out his wife's hotel every night, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. But interestingly enough, it was this same gunshot that sends us down the path to the unexplained.
All right, I was waiting for it. I was sitting here waiting for it. I'm like, okay, what is anything to do? All right.
So the nephew's wife tries to kill herself by drinking poison, but it doesn't work. The nephew himself immediately turns himself in and, like, goes to jail, but after, like, three trials, he's acquitted because of temporary insanity, like you do when you're a man in the 1850s. And most importantly, though the chapel was almost totally finished, there was left, lingering, the matter of ascending to the choir loft. There was no record of what this architect was planning for the sisters who needed to get up there and sing during church service, but a normal staircase headed down into the church was impossible because it was way too cramped. Because remember, this is in like a sort of like throwback architectural style that like maybe like your average Joe construction man like can't really like understand because he's not like from Europe. You know what I mean? He's just like some guy who learned how to build like lean-tos in the frontier. You know what I mean? So this is like not a challenge that just anybody can like handle. And with the architect dead, like there's no way to do this without like, you know, it's going to get rid of like all half the seats in the church if you just bring a staircase in there.
Right.
Because as you know, the choir loft's in the back, like behind the congregation. So it's like, you know, you'd have this like big slanting thing descending down. And so they just were at a complete impasse. It was like a choir loft that was just like up there that like nobody could get inside. It's like super weird. So they called in experts from all over. No one even came close. The only suggestion anybody had was maybe like a nice fancy wooden heavy ladder. Okay. But the nuns were like old nuns. They can't like climb up a ladder. And also you can like see right up their fucking skirts on a ladder. Like it's like just, it's just not chill. It's not chill for putting nuns on a ladder.
And there was no way to do like a staircase on the outside?
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't like, the building was built in such a way that it's like stone and stuff. And they can't just like.
So they'd have to, there's no easy way to demolish and.
Yeah, manage. Yeah. And obviously, like I said, nope, they'd have to get somebody else from France to do this. Mm-hmm. So there was just, it was like hopeless. So because they're nuns and this is basically what they love to do, they started an intense long-term prayer session to Saint Joseph where they asked for guidance and said their rosaries a bunch of times. And after doing that for about 9 days straight, sure enough, Mother Superior got a message in her office that there was a man who wanted to meet her. And when she went to investigate, what greeted her was a humble workman of few words who stood outside with a bunch of wooden carpenter's tools and building supplies, which he loaded onto a quiet little donkey. And he said that he thought he might be able to take care of the choir loft problem all by himself. And all he needed were a few tubs of hot water and her permission, which she timidly gave him.
Okay. So just, Jesus has arrived! The carpenter from the end times!
All anybody saw when they went in to pray in the chapel was wood soaking in tubs. The man would always sort of like excuse himself. Remember, this is a woman's school, so he would like get up and excuse himself whenever anybody came into the church. He would just kind of like stop what he was doing and like leave. In a few short weeks, where there once was nothing, now stood a beautiful spiral staircase in a physics-defying double helix pattern. It stands completely free of supports. It contains not one single nail or screw, just wood pegs. It's like beautifully curved. It only uses about seven or eight square feet of floor space. It completely solves the problem. It doesn't like, it's not an inconvenience. It's like makes the chapel even more beautiful. And in fact, according to a Washington Post column by a modern carpenter named Tim Carter, and I quote, he says, "It's a magnificent work of art that humbles me as a master carpenter. To create a staircase like this using modern tools would be a feat. It's mind-boggling to think about constructing such a marvel with crude hand tools, no electricity, and minimal resources." Okay? So this is a pretty amazing thing that shows up in this church. And the night the job was done, big surprise, the sisters tried to find the man so they could throw him a feast in his honor, and guess what? He was gone.
Gone.
Yeah, gone. No one in town had any idea who this man was. Nobody knew where he came from. There's no way to send him any sort of message. They even went around to like any sort of reasonable distance around Santa Fe, New Mexico to lumber yards to try and like source his supply chain back to him. But nobody bought any wood in that volume anywhere around that could have accounted for the staircase. In fact, the wood itself was a type of spruce wood that was extinct in that part of the country and was non-indigenous. And even after running ads in the paper looking for the man who made the stairs, the nuns still had no luck, which led them to conclude, eventually, that it was St. Joseph himself who built the staircase, which, you know, they're religious, they're ladies, who that's all the answer that they need. It's a perfectly fine explanation for them. And that's where they left it. That's the, like, official, like, if you go to the website, that's the story of the Loretto Miracle Stairs. And you can actually go online and you can see the picture of these stairs. They're still there. They're still up and they look amazing. And it's amazing to imagine that, yeah, they're made completely without any sort of nail or screw. It's just they support themselves under their own weight.
They are
so jumping in here, if you look this up, because that's what I did, they look beautiful, but there's railing and there's all these other things that apparently were not in the original stairs.
Yeah. So I'm gonna get to that. So there's been several attempts to debunk the story of these stairs, right? Most famously, the one that, and you know, this is the one I think most people are going to see when they look this up, is Snopes, who rate this actually as a false story on their website, based on the fact that over the years, the staircase has been described as having many different problems. There were no handrails on the original staircase at all, and it was so scary that, like, nuns were having to, like, crawl up it on their hands and knees. And it would, like, spring, like, up and down because it was, like, spirally. And it was, like, I don't know if it was, like, a structural design thing or whatever. But there's no way. But because of the fact that the church itself is, like, this was God who came and did this. You know what I mean?
I actually have a picture here of the staircase without the railing.
Yeah. That was added. So here's the thing. So here's my thought on this, right? I found out that these changes they made to the staircase happened pretty early. Remember, this happened in 1873. They broke ground on this. And by 1887, they had already installed the handrail. They already had added this brace to it and a couple other things. And the thing that I'm not sure of and that I can't, like, find evidence of is, like, what were they correcting? Were they correcting it because of, like, scared nuns? And did the installation, like, if you look at the staircase and you look at the handrail on it and you imagine that none of that was there, you can imagine how much extra weight that might put on these wooden, like, spring-loaded steps that might be, like, hard for them to,
I'll link the picture I have here, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
For Jesse, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, you can see just, like, it...
Yeah.
You could see how that might weigh down the stairs, and because the church doesn't, like, keep good records of it, and they're like, it's magic, there's no real way to know, chicken or the egg, whether or not the enhancements to the staircase were made because the staircase was bad, or because they ruined the staircase by adding, like, new things to it, you know, made by people who weren't as good as this original carpenter. And the only damage that's ever been reported by the church on the staircase, they had to replaster an area in the back of the staircase because apparently, you know, as with most holy relics, people were going up to it and, like taking little pieces of it away.
Gotcha.
To, like,
the idea of, like, taking something holy home, maybe it'll
help
them.
Yeah, exactly. And so they did have to do a repair for that, but everything else, it's a little bit more mysterious. They're not sure. Like, the document that I read even calls into question whether or not the railing was part of the original design or not.
Okay.
Which and this was put out by a society, like a historical society around the church for it came out as 1978. It's like a 105th anniversary. It was like a anniversary pamphlet.
What does that mean? That it calls into question whether it's part of the original design? The guy finished and left.
Well, what they're saying in the pamphlet is there's no records really of whether or not the original design had the railings or not, and whether or not they were finishing a design or they were, you know, adding something extra to it. Like there's not like a clear, sort of like trace of that in the document that's, like, from the church. So I can't be sure. But the key thing that's important here is that most people do not deny the fact that the man and his donkey actually came and built the staircase out of just wood and then disappeared. And the elements of this case pertaining to the bishop's nephew who murdered that dude John Lamy and his wife Mercedes Chavez and the death of the French architect Francois Millet are like well documented, matter of public record. You can see the acquittal. All that stuff really happened. The situation with the church and like the unfinished balcony and all that, and the man showing up, that story really happened. So, you know, rather than doing a sort of hard job of like reverse engineering these stairs, I invite you to, you know, just sort of like enjoy this story for what it is, because
okay, let me ruin it for you. So
yeah.
One of the things that I noticed, and I had to look up what this is called, the big thing about these stairs is like there's no central support. There's no central yeah. support. But then you said that it sprung up and down like a spring when you walked on it, right?
The stairs go up and down because they're spiral. So they
right.
like
right, but like when you walk on it, because there's no central support, it goes like bling 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 bling, right? There's like a spring.
Well, a little,
bit
yeah.
to it. Oh yeah, and obviously it's not like
I want to be clear like what I'm describing. Yeah. I want to be clear what I'm describing yeah. is not like cartoonish.
It moves like there's shifting of weight. Like it as you go up, it wobbles a bit. The thing that I noticed is that in this staircase, you can see it in all the photos. Thankfully, shout out to my shop teacher in 11th grade, who I don't remember his name right now. But there's a thing called a stringer. And in this case, you can see it. I don't know if it has a different term. But if you look at the staircase, the inside and outside bits that go that wrap around, that hold it together,
mm-hmm.
that acts as the actual support. It's not a good support. But that's how you can say there, you know, there is no pole in the middle. But what there is a, like a more solid piece of like wood holding it all together.
Right.
So
right.
while it moves up and down, it's not going to go left and right.
Right. It's not like magic. But what I'm
right,
saying
right,
is
right.
just I'm not really trying to say it's magic. I'm more just saying like the design of this staircase like is so clever. Like, it's like...
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
brilliant. Yes. Agreed with all of that. Yeah.
This is just something that you wouldn't... Like, the idea that somebody would show up with a donkey with, like, wood on it and, like, make this is crazy to me. And then just vanish. Like, even if the story is, like, this is, like, some super religious guy who was, like, a master carpenter who was, like, in hiding, who was, like, it is my time. And he, like, went and did this. Like, it's just a fucking weird story. And the fact that the stairs are still there is really like interesting to me.
I think that we also should. This goes back to every time I have to poo-poo anything where we're like, it was you know ancient technology. How they do it? Like, all right, yes, it was the 1800s, but nails and stuff like that not that common. And the people assume everything was hammered and nailed together, but it was wood pegs for everything. Nails were
yeah.
like a luxury. If you had to do a nail maker in town. Man, you were living high on the hog.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that it'd be put together with wood. All this makes sense. It doesn't, you know, is it miraculous that a person came along when they needed them to? Yes. Is it miraculous in its construction? Not really. It's just beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it is like an extremely odd scenario, which to me is the thing that's so intriguing about this. Obviously, I'm not a religious person, but like... It's such an intriguing idea that this man rolled up and had this staircase in him.
Yeah, me as well, trying to think of like, well, what would cause this guy to show up? Do we even know how long after the murder he showed up? Was it like within a week? Like he was just there? Is that just like he showed up one day, did it,
Nine days.
He left? Nine days.
Well, but it was one of those things where obviously in town, the big...
Right, that's where my brain went.
Everyone
as well,
would
like,
know that, like, well, the church, it's not done yet, and you know, the Mother Superior, or whatever, she's praying on it, and everyone. So it'd be like
committing
the talk
a sinful
of the town.
Life.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible that somebody heard this.
Of course not.
And came and did this, but to me, the thing that's interesting is that like they actually put in an effort to get people to come do this, and instead of that. Working, what happened was a guy and a donkey showed up later.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. I think that's really good. Yeah.
What's interesting about that? Even if this dude is not, you know, he heard about the news and was like, I want to help him out. Whatever, I'll show up, I'll do my job, and I'll leave. It's interesting that A, they can't track where he came from. B, they can't figure out where he got the wood that is not indigenous to the area. And
it's
C, that he was a man
wood.
Like he just was like, man, I'm just gonna show up, do my job, and bounce. See you later.
Yeah, it's wild
it's
to me.
It is super wild. That's like it, though. It's like those factual. Well, you know, you put factual in quotes because we don't have the details, but we have these things that we know happened. We have evidence that they happened, but we don't have any idea who these people are, where they went.
And do you want the galaxy brain observation?
I'm ready.
After looking at these stairs, do you think it's any coincidence that they bear a resemblance to the human genome?
Oh, stop it. Stop this.
The building blocks
stop
of life as we know it?
In a church?
In a church of God?
God who created DNA and humanity and evolution was guided by his rightful hand?
Just a little something to think about, you know?
You're going to make me look up a DNA strand.
And best of all, you can still completely visit this spot today. It's not
That's cool.
Particularly, it's not particular. Like, I know, like, every time I'm like, and it was destroyed in a fire 50 years ago.
Privately owned, though, so don't get, like, your hopes up. You may have
to
pay to go in.
No, it's open. It's open. It's open 364 days a year. I bet you can guess which day it's closed. But you have to go call ahead because
so popular.
They have like 100 weddings a year. So. Like, you can't...
I want to go in there with just a hammer and chisel and just be like... Ba-dum, ba-dum. Just, like, carve my name and take some shavings home with me.
Mathis was here.
With an alien next to it.
Yeah.
That's wild, though. I love stories like that. That's just, like, interesting. And it's frustrating because, like... Jesse, you might... Alex, I'm sure you would appreciate it, too. But I've been, doing a lot of, like, history podcast listening and stuff. And
dude.
I'm like...
Hardcore history is the
that's
shit.
That's where I'm at right now. And I'm listening to the King of Kings series right now. And it's so interesting to have like bits and pieces of things that we know and then not have any information otherwise. And that kind of, it suits this. It's just like, we know this, this, and this happened. 9 days later, this guy showed up and the staircase is there. It happened. But then he just disappeared and there was no other record of who he was, his name or whatever. Because he never gave his name, you said, right?
Right. Nobody knows who he was at all.
I'm so upset because it, look, at the most basic level, it kind of maybe resembles DNA. But, like, looking at DNA strands, not really, but I'll give it to you. It kind of is, like, in the realm of DNA. You know what? Who are we to judge God? You're right. I'm such a fool.
I'm just saying.
I'm such a fool. You're right.
I'm just
You're right.
saying, like, oh, you never so know dumb. Why he... Maybe he was hinting, like... Maybe he just got the decade wrong on the genome project. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Maybe he meant to send that sign... In the 70s.
You can't
he showed up in the wrong 70s.
Strand.
Yeah.
Like, nuns aren't going to get up a DNA strand, so he had to make it more human accessible.
And now you've looked up a DNA strand, and you thought about God. And
oh, no. Oh, no.
Maybe,
he got me.
Yeah, maybe
he got
me.
I mean, I like the idea that he showed up in the wrong 70s. He meant to be there in the
1970s. Oh, fuck. Oh, I'm going to dip out before I make the handrail. Gotta go.
And St. Joseph, too, is, like, I guess the saint of, like, carpentry.
Well, I imagine it's Jesus' dad, right?
He's a carpenter.
Yeah, Joseph and Mary.
Yeah, he's a carpenter. Yeah. That's why my brain went to Jesus. I'm like, he was a carpenter. Maybe it was Jesus.
You want to know something crazy, too? Statistically, that guy's name might have been Joseph. The same.
Especially in the 1850s?
I wasn't it Jode? Didn't I read that while looking up this case?
Jode? Case?
Oh, he Jode? Gave his name?
I don't know.
I got no name in any of the accounts that I saw.
Mysterious carpenter only known as Jode. J-O-A-D. Joad?
Jode, for sure, but where are you reading that? Because
dangerously
I think that
close.
Might be like some like confident religious reading of the events.
Oh, it's just like literally it's on every single, there's Faith and Lessons, Washington Post. During that time, Jode is building the staircase.
I think that's a recent addition to the story.
Yeah, I
looked up Jode and I got Cyril Edwin Mitchinson Jode.
Oh, just look up Loretto Staircase Jode. Also, right. Can I ask you a question? Is the Loretto Staircase now a type of staircase?
The Loretto Staircase?
Because if you scroll down far enough under the Loretto Staircase images, you eventually get to designs that are, you know how if you go to modern houses or sometimes modern museums, stairs are now just like slats coming out of a wall or weird things that don't look like they can support humans but somehow can?
Yeah.
And all of them say Loretto Staircase. And I'm curious if it's now making
like
weird
stairs.
Yeah, making weird stairs that don't look like they can support people is now a new term. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's, so Jode, yeah, so Jode cool. is the name of the character in the movie about
that's
this.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But I do want to say, follow up on the wood situation. And there's an article here from the LA Times from the 90s. So, you know, it's the LA Times, like sourced journalism. It says it was made of a type of wood that is still of unknown origin, but recently coined as Loretto spruce because no other classification exists.
See, that's those
that's
things.
That's interesting,
that are,
yeah.
That's cool.
According to the LA Times in 1998, at the very least.
So, 20-year-old information, but and who
there's
knows.
Still,
but...
Yeah, regardless of whether or not this staircase validates the existence of God for an entire globe-spanning religion or not.
Or genuinely was this a traveling Good Samaritan who was like, I've got some wood, I heard about
the
crime.
If you are very religious, that traveling Samaritan was working, yeah. like God was working through them. So it doesn't. Right. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because you're going to find justification for why God was involved in this. And so it's a miracle. And that's just, if you're religious, that's what it's always going to be.
Yeah, you can't beat that, man.
That's a cool story. I actually hope it's true that this is like the first instance of like this kind of staircase.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm not that far from New Mexico. Like, if I wanted to go to this, I could go.
Speaking of which, it did spawn. I'm looking through all these different staircases. All those staircases that you see that are spiral but don't have a middle structural support, they're Loretto staircases now. That's the term for it.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Shout outs to all those supervillains unwittingly inspired by the work of God.
Yeah. Right? If we ever have a Chilluminati HQ, we have to have a Loretto staircase in the center.
Dude, right in the middle.
Right. Just goes all the way up.
You walk into the lobby upstairs and it's tile on the floor, and then you press a button and then you Loretto down into the logo.
Oh my God. Yes, that's what that's what all those villain layer stairs are. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
If there's any mysterious supernatural carpenters who are listening and want to show up and
we just have to
build
pray for 9
something,
days.
Yeah, I'll pray for it. I'll do 10.
Yeah?
I'll go one extra.
This time that's me fine. And Jesse are going to buy you a donkey on eBay. And send you a donkey.
God,
and a
please
hammer.
Do not do that.
So if you all are wondering, I'm going to send you guys this. If you're all wondering what it might have been like to, because we haven't actually talked about this, what it might have been like to actually craft these stairs, the reason why he was putting it in water is to obviously make the wood more malleable
bendy.
So you can bend
yeah.
it, right? And then what you do, and I'll send you this image, and you might want to link that in the actual video.
Yeah,
then you like hold it in place.
Ooh, cool.
And
how?
So you can see.
Yeah, how the hell?
How he would have held it? I don't know how he would have held it in place like this, but that's dope. That shows you how it was done. That's so neat.
Yeah, this one's kind of coming off of a wooden post, so it's a little bit less complex. But if you imagine that post spiraling along the inside of the staircase up with a hole in the center, it's like pretty
how
much the same design.
See, like he would have had to let it sit. Like people would have seen it. Like
I mean,
built.
They saw him building it, but they just never saw him actually. Working on it. Like, they saw the structure being built. They just never saw... Because he always would, like,
time.
If somebody came to pray, he would just be like, oh, I gotta go.
That picture, Jesse, is just like... It looks like a DIY, what do you got laying around to hold these things in place? Even though they're all vice grips, it just looks wild.
Yeah, but I imagine that would be the case back then. I think this goes, again, goes back to my theory that we always like to look at old-timey stuff and be like, oh, what a miracle. But people are just smart as hell. And you can imagine, just like when people built giant pyramids, the ingenuity of mankind. Sometimes you're just, like, blown away. Not until I saw this image did it all click, like, holy shit. Like, a dude could do this. Like,
he could.
And it could be done really efficiently and effectively. And you can bend wood the way he bent. Like, all this makes sense to me. It all clicks. And you know what? If God had a role in it, great.
You're signing off on this one? This really happened?
Oh, it definitely, I mean, definitely a dude showed up and definitely all this happened. Is it a miracle? I don't know. Is it now
is
a money-making opportunity
is
for whoever
at all
that
a miracle?
I mean, isn't life a miracle?
Dude, DNA, shit. Life, art, it's all coming together in the house of God.
You're right.
So before we go, I just want, you know, if there's like a Chilluminati like manifesto or something like that, what do we call this type of mystery? Because as a person who now has my own sort of like SCP of like weird occurrences in my head at all times, I've noticed a trend of like mysterious. How did they build this? items that extends beyond like your basics, like your pyramids, your Stonehenges, to like this, to like the Coral Castle. If you're familiar
sure.
with that,
oh, we need to do an episode on that one day.
Yeah, there's elements of this in like the Winchester House. Like, what is that? What is that like impossible building? Like, what is the word? You know, like cryptids. Like, we need like a buzz term for like impossible, like,
supernatural architecture.
Yeah, UFA, unidentified flying architecture.
Is it? Are they flying?
Yeah, I mean, dude, is it flying or is it a clever double helix?
Literally, there's
structure?
A ton of books called that all have different titles, but all have supernatural architecture as like their title.
Yeah, supernatural architecture. It's a thing, guys.
Can it be, you know, like those, you know, like paratecture?
Paratecture.
Parkitecture.
Yeah.
That's a video game.
Parkitecture? Yeah, no doubt.
That's cool though. That's a cool story. I've never heard of the Coral Castle, so whatever that is.
Oh
I'm
my
in,
god.
I'm in.
I'll do
you
it
know
next.
What? Maybe that's the one I'll do for you guys. Maybe that's perfect. The one I'll finally do. Because the Coral Castle is a real thing, so I can talk about it.
It's perfect,
be
yeah,
like,
because
it's
he
weird.
Did it. The guy did it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right. Jesse, that's your task then.
Mathis, right. your task is to not look this up.
Never look it up. Don't look
no,
don't
no,
even
I absolutely will not.
Yeah.
It. My past like 2 weeks have been very bloody research, so I'm just happy not to have to think about serial killers.
I love this. I feel like Blade. I feel like the Daywalker. Like, I can like walk with Jesse or Mathis. Yeah. Mathis got killed while he was giving birth to me while Jesse was explaining to him why some paranormal
spoilers,
stuff wasn't
Mathis
real.
Is still alive.
Dude, that's for the second movie. That's for the second movie, though.
I'm long dead. Harold has control
movie.
Of me.
That's the third
movie. That's the first movie. The first movie. It's revealed at the end of the first movie and then resolved. At the end of the first movie.
Fair.
It's crazy.
I can't remember which is in which movie.
It literally doesn't matter.
You're right. Come see us in Boston on October 30th. Get your tickets at ChilluminatiPod.com. Get your gear at theyeti.com/ChilluminatiPod.
I believe it's just Chilluminati the way they said it.
You'll figure it out if you go to
there's always a link on the bottom of all things, so you can just go grab your merch.
Go buy the stuff that's in that shop to support
bring
us.
It to the show.
Yeah, we'll
I
sign
see
it.
A bunch of glow-in-the-dark t-shirts and hats while we're freaking doing our show.
Imagine like the theme song plays out and it's like all loud because we got the bass for it.
Yeah.
That's going to be worth it just for that.
And everybody simultaneously slowly puts their hat on during the theme song.
Yeah, exactly.
And in case you forget, I'm sure we'll mention it in the next episode and the episode after that and the episode after that until the show is here. Jesse. Yeah. Alex.
Yes.
Thanks for joining me.
Hell yeah,
Alex,
my dude.
Thanks for guiding us down this fantastic Loretta staircase where we discovered that it was the first of its kind. I'm sure we weren't the discoverers of such things, clearly, but we discovered it in real time. That's good enough for me.
Thank you guys for giving me this weird outlet to express the weird things that I read about on the internet. I appreciate it.
Otherwise, it's just going to be all up there, and it's just going to drive you insane, dude. You got to let it out. You have to, like, vent every so often.
Yeah, I need time in my life to play games from 20 years ago still. So
exactly.
Please, let me have that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. As they said, ChilluminatiPod.com. Go get your tickets now. There's only a few. The seats are limited. Go check it out. We appreciate it. We hope to see you there. And we'll be back sooner rather than later with the beginning of another three-parter.
Ooh.
And I'll leave it there.
Oh, shit.
We'll see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Bye.